To identify the recording, please.
Okay, so my name's Cinta Tantra and I'm an artist living and working in London.
Cinta, first of all, we've gone to see your work and gosh, haven't you changed that building, the Cube? It's looking marvellous in the sunlight in Folkestone. But I wanted to begin by asking you about the site and the building and how you came to actually take over this building and put your artistic, I'm going to have to say that again, sorry, edit point. I just wanted to ask you how you came to identify that building and then really stamp your artistic personality on it.
So I've just been in touch with Lewis over the years, and some projects I have a lot of time to develop and find a site, but in this particular instance, I think he saw my work from previous projects that I'd done and thought this would be a perfect challenge for me. So that's how sort of the site was selected for me. When I first came, it was a very challenging sort of space because there's many windows. So one of the challenges was how to create an artwork that held itself and was confident and strong, but sort of obliterated the windows and allowed for movement around the painting, around the building.
Which is a painting.
Yeah.
I'm always very intrigued by references. And I know that you did your research and so you looked at some railway posters. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about that and why you were intrigued by them and what you took away from looking at those posters of Folkestone.
So I guess I'm always quite interested in a kind of looking back and a kind of romance and nostalgia. And I think I wanted to inject some of that nostalgia that was in the posters, this romance, this idea of Folkestone as a destination to go to for leisure, but also somewhere that was connected to the rest of Europe and the world to a wide extent. So I was just quite interested in kind of injecting some of that glamour, should I say, from the early sort of 20th century into this building.
I think what's interesting as well is the way you have taken those different references, and I know you've been very intrigued and used as well Sonia Delaunay, a woman of course who did wonderful work and enlivened and used different techniques. I wanted you to talk a little bit about that as well, these bringing together different cultures, which is very important in terms of the specificity of this town.
Different cultures, but also I was quite interested in the way Sonia Delaunay works as a practice. So she's a painter, but also created designs on fabrics, fashion. I've seen some of her designs on cars, incredibly revolutionary at the time. And so that was one of the reasons why I was attracted to kind of responding to somebody like her.
Now you've used a very particular way of interrogating or working with the building. You're kind of drawn around it in this dance almost. Mm-hmm. And today with the light on it, it literally did lead us in a dance around the building. Can we talk a little bit about that? Because Folkestone has an interesting history. And I just wondered how much you investigated that in terms of obviously when it was no longer a ferry port in the way it had been. And obviously the subsequent demise and now revival of Folkestone. Was that something that interests you?
Yes, but I mean, you could even look at it specifically with the history of the building. So if you looked at the building from the 1970s, it looked very different to what it was like 10 years ago, and now it's had another life. So I think that in itself is a kind of metaphor of Folkestone sort of changing, developing, bringing in sort of different influences into the town.
And a lot's been said about borders and edges, and of course you can see that site from many of the different areas of Folkestone, from kind of north, south, east and west, actually, you can see it. Was that also important for you, that it's a kind of a big totem, in a way, standing there?
Definitely, definitely. So if you looked on Google Earth and you saw where the building was located, it's quite a prominent part of the town. So it leads from the sea, you could walk from the sea up the street, Thompson Street, and it's at the top. It sits on a kind of triangular island, which also means you have people coming from all sorts of directions, not only just walking, but in cars. So I really wanted to create a painting that created movement, where you could look through different corner spaces, even like if you're in another building, you sort of see it from a different viewpoint. So it's quite important for me to create something bold, but also something that kind of encouraged the viewer to physically walk around space.
Any issues, any problems? Because it's a public work, and yeah, of course things always, perhaps, you know, you design what you're going to do, yes, and sometimes you have to modify things.
I would say with public art that comes with territory, I'm always really fascinated by those discussions, by those challenges. I think as an artist, that's where I get my energy from. So I create works in my studio, but also part of it is about bringing what I'm thinking in that private space into the real world, into the outside space. And I guess I quite like sort of being there for the work, for people to kind of view it, criticize it even. But I think that's kind of important because it means that it's engaging people and that's making a difference.
Working methods. Mm-hmm. So you went to see the building. Do you take photographs? Do you have a great big sketch in your studio with it all mapped out? Do you employ lots of people to come and paint for you? How does it get from cradle to grave, from your idea to the finished piece that we see here?
So I think in architectural space, and I think in colours. So quite a lot of the times I take photographs, but also I take architectural drawings of the building, and I would make a little model, a little maquette in the studio space. And then from the maquette, I get a sense of the volume of the building. I also look at Google Earth and sort of see how people interact, and the sort of aerial viewpoint, and I guess the idea of zooming in and out. Once I've kind of made an observation of the space, I create like a 2D drawing from the computer, and then I think for this one I made around 150 sketches, and then towards the end I singled out one, obviously, but it has to go through a process of 2D on the computer, print it out, making a maquette, which is 3D, and then you get the sense of space and if it works or not. Because quite often it could look great on sort of a two-dimensional scale on the computer, but once it's printed and made into a kind of 3D maquette, that's when you really get a sense of whether it works or not.
And finally, what attracted you to wanting to be an artist?
It's wanting to create a language and express, I think quite often being a female Asian woman artist, there's sometimes an expectation to create perhaps very decorative, very beautiful, but also very small scale work. And I think I always wanted to react against that, and I wanted to sort of express another side of me.
And that's a fascinating place to end, because here you are, as you say, a female Asian artist who has taken a pretty much male-dominated 70s architectonic building and put your art on it. That's great. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was